familiar scripture. But I want to make a statement about the Lord we serve first. It's found in Hebrews 4:12. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," and this is speaking of Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast." I had a blackout there. "Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities or weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are," not were, are, "yet without sin." You remember when Cain and Abel, the scripture as it reads, it talks about they were in a discussion and then Cain slew Abel. But there was a statement that was made right after that passage that says that, "And sin lieth at the door." You see, we're going to be tested and tried in so many areas of our lives. And don't think that because you're in the church, you're not going to be tested, that you're not going to be tried. But we have a greater hope than what's out in the world. You see, when you think about it, I'm going to insert this testimony real quickly. When I said earlier that I have struggled with seeing people oppressed, possessed, addicted, I see it every day, and I'm so tired of seeing it, and it grieves my spirit. But it was so interesting to me. I was sharing it with Risa, but then the Holy Ghost brought back to my remembrance, there was a man that his name was Jack. And Jack was just wild. He lived in Lincoln, Nebraska. And it was so interesting because the church I was in, the very first church I was in, he was asked by that city. He was put in jail. He went before the court, and the court said, "You can be free if you leave this state." Not the city, not the locale. He said, "If you leave this state, you can be free." And he says, "Okay, I'll leave. I'll go to Colorado." He goes to Colorado, goes to the church doors. And when he goes to those church doors, someone walks up to him and says, "Hi, Jack, I've been waiting for you." Never met him before. You see, what I'm trying to say to you, there's a deeper walk with God. Amen. And in your prayer, you can pray for people that you've never met, Amen. Never seen, never laid eyes on, and know who they are. And that's a real thing. I talk to you about this because as you walk with God and you begin to walk with God in such a way that He draws near to you and He starts revealing His secrets to you or showing you people that are struggling and suffering, He will bring back to your remembrance this testimony so that you will never feel like you have no hope. You're going to keep going. Stay in the church and keep going through the processes that He's taking you through because you're going to go through some difficulties. But in those difficulties, He's always there. He shall never leave you nor forsake you. And I love how when my wife teaches about that, she always says that when he says he will never leave you nor forsake you, it's referring to orphans. He will never leave you an orphan. You'll never be left alone. And he wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. You see, sometimes we think that our lives can be, our relationship with our parents mimics our relationship with God. And I disagree with that. It's not the same because their flesh, he's not. His mercy never fails. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. He doesn't ever come up short. Parents do the best that they can. Amen? Amen, parents?
Amen.
You walk according to your knowledge, your wisdom, your understanding. You always will do the best you can. And that's how we walk with God. Whenever you see somebody falter, you have to realize that's all they knew. That's as far as they could go. Because we always, everybody in here, tries to do their best. Amen?
Amen.
And when we are in error, it's because we lack understanding. When we're in error, it's something that we just don't know. But I want to talk to you for just a few moments about familiar places. Everybody say it with me. Familiar,
familiar
places. I read to you about a God that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But I want to take you to a passage found in John 17, and it's a prayer of Jesus when he was speaking to his disciples. And even before I want you to turn to that, but I want you just to hear what I'm going to read to you right now about the glory of God. See, when we grasp hold of how precious we are in God's sight, when you read something like 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For ye are bought with a price." You're not cheap. But sometimes you act cheap, or you treat other people like as though they're cheap. But that price he paid was for the lost and for the saved. So you have to understand that, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit," which are whose? God's. You have to understand, you don't belong to yourself. That's why I have known people that have said, "Well, I'm going to check out. I don't want this life anymore." They're making choices for themselves that God didn't say yes or no to. "For we are his workmanship," not our own workmanship, but his workmanship, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So if I surrender my life to God and I get born again, God already has a work plan for me. And that work is to teach you about his love, his mercy, and his grace. In Ephesians 4:24 says this, "And that ye put on the new man." It's something you have to do. You have to literally choose, "I'm not going to cuss this person out. I literally got to choose, I'm not going to slap this person." You literally have to choose, "I'm not going to walk like I used to walk." I'm literally having to choose, "I'm not going to walk in those sexual promiscuities that I used to walk in." I have to literally choose those things. And it's a choice that you can make and that you will make because you love God. And it is hard sometimes. I was I have a young man. He's in his 40s. I call that young. 40 years old, and he works with me. His name is Terrence. And I've just known him 2 weeks, but in our men's fellowship, we're going through the same process that the ladies are going through, and it's 30 days in a year. And mine was to speak the truth in love, but then the Lord just condensed it. He said, "Speak the truth." Because he knows me. Okay? He wants me to speak the truth. And sometimes when it's a hard word, I don't want to say it. I'd rather hold back or kind of like try to sugarcoat it or put something on it where it makes it more palatable. Give it a little honey and then let them swallow it. But that's not how God works. So he said, "Just if you work on that one thing, speak the truth." So this young man starts working on my job, and I met him. I said, and I knew it was the Holy Ghost, but I didn't have any reference. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anything about him. He was just there. I was told to meet him. So when I met him, I said, "You know what? This job is suitable for you. I don't know," and I said just like this, "I don't know why I'm telling you this, but this job is for you. And I'm going to tell you things that I would not normally tell anyone else about this job, so that when you move in, so that when you get here," it's as though he already had it, but he was just Tim. He knew nothing about what I told him. And as I was explaining to him the benefits, I said, "You need the housing that they offer you because there's no charge. There's zero rent on this house, and you need to be there. But I don't know why, but the Lord's telling me to tell you where you're at. The people's hearts are not towards you." And so he's looking at me like, "Who is this?" You know, telling me these things. And the Lord just kept going and going. And when I was done, I didn't like I normally do, "Man, I hope I didn't offend him. I hope I didn't say the wrong thing. I hope I didn't say too much." But I just walked away. Because I'm free from thinking I have to do it like someone else. I'm free from that. I'm free from thinking that, rethinking and tormenting myself behind it, because he says speak the truth. And what I believe he spoke to me was the truth, so I'm going to therefore share it with him. And then I'm going to leave it in God's hands. When you do that, when you're free, because you're going to have the same experiences, when you share things with people that you really feel God's pushing it out of you, out of your mouth, and you share it with someone, you have to leave it in God's hands. Because they have a choice to make after that. There was one man that was in that position before him. He was going through a lot of struggles. He got all the way up to the place. He got all the way to the place where the company offered him the job. His brother that was in this church, he was here in this church. And God opened a door for him where he would have had pay any rent, that he could stack up his cash, that he could be here for his daughter. But sometimes our family can tug on our heartstrings. Come home. Come where it's comfortable. Come where we can take care of you. Come over here. And that's why we encourage everyone in this church to pray before you say yes. Because if you don't, you can find yourself in circumstances that you can't get out of. Or you put yourself, your life in a course that ends up harming you. And God never wanted that for you. He never wanted that for you. So he's gone. And someone came right behind him. He left. Not because he was being disobedient. Because I didn't say what I said to the next man. Because I didn't say what I felt in my spirit. Because I felt, you guys hear what I'm saying? I felt, it wasn't the Holy Ghost, I felt that if I said anything about his family and what their intentions were, that they just wanted him to be around them so they could influence his life rather than allowing God to do what he needed to do here. He's gone. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, you're going to have to realize that when God tells you something, regardless of how you feel and how you think the other person is going to receive it,
right.
You need to say it.
That's right.
Don't have their blood on your hands. Don't do that. Don't have their sorrow on your hands. Don't have them calling you up later on saying, why didn't you say something if you felt like that? You have to have no regrets if you just walk in obedience. If you say what you got to say, speak the truth. I'm going to say it loud so that you can hear it. Speak the truth. Because someone's life might depend on it. So I'm observing this young man on the property. And he's standing, literally standing in front of the curb. And this lady walks past him and says, do you have a cigarette? He says, no. Something about the way he said no, it started an argument. Before it was all over, she was calling him out of his name, and he was calling her out of her name. She was just passing by. He was going on and on. I'm sitting there observing and watching. Didn't intervene, just watched it go on. And when they were done, I felt it was safe to go around him. I walked over to him. I said, you know, is everything all right? He said, I'm done here. He said, it's almost like he was saying, these people trigger me to the place where I don't want to go anymore. He said, I've been trying so hard to change. You need to know this. When you're trying to change, there's going to be opposition that comes against you. And it's going to come through the forms of people sometimes. But you keep going forward with God, because God is the one that blesses. So I was telling him, I didn't say anything at that moment, but I ended up sending him a text. And I was so surprised. When you do what's right, God always will confirm that you've done what's right.
Yes, yes, yes.
I text him, and he said, it was funny because he said, thank you for your message. My text was just so long because I couldn't stop. I wanted to share everything with him that I needed to say to him. And when it was all said and done, he texted back and said, you know what? I was going to quit this job. I was going to walk away from this opportunity. I was going to walk away. But I'm going to call him back and give you guys another chance. And I'm going to apply for the job. And I'm going to do this. I'm like, oh God, we found somebody obedient. We found somebody that will turn away from what they think they should do and go with what other people have instructed them to do. You see, when you instruct, I'm looking at it this way. When you speak a word to somebody, sometimes that word is nothing more than instruction on what you ought to do. And then you have a choice to make. Either you're going to do it or you're not.
Yes.
He chose to do it, and I believe God's going to bless him. Praise God. So, in Ephesians 4:24, it says, and that you put on the new man. He says, I've been trying. Have you ever talked to people in the world or talked to people or in your circle, and they're talking about trying to live for God or trying to change, and you sit there, not smugly, but knowing that they're coming. You have that, you feel something in your spirit. You know that they're coming, and you know that at some point, they're going to surrender their lives to God.
Yes.
I'm believing God for bringing him here. In Jesus' name. So when you look at this, it says, and then you put on the new man, which is after God. You see, when I stop walking in the fear of man, or walking in the fear of saying the truth or speaking the truth, he's able to come. Did you know that when you're free, other people are set free as well?
Amen.
When you're free from whatever causes you not to be willing and submitted to God, when you're free, you set others free. So, in Colossians 3:10, it says this, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. I didn't know how important it was to start walking in fear. He says, God have not given you a spirit of fear. And you can walk in condemnation. Well, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that. Or you can say, I'm going to start walking in fear. Yes. And if it becomes your 30-day thing not to walk in fear, God is going to honor your request and show you how not to walk in fear. Because it's those who are set free that can liberate other people.
Amen.
It's those that are set free in their minds and their thoughts and wrong ways of thinking that can actually deliver someone else.
Yes.
It's not just, see, God does not want us to have the perspective where we are like the Pharisees. We talk about the word, but we've never experienced the word. He wants you to be able to say, I've been delivered. I've been set free. I'm walking in Christ. He wants you to be able to say that and not doubt it. He wants you to say it. He wants you to say it. I've heard so much instruction in this church, so much wisdom given out. But I don't know, I don't want to say this as a judgment. But I want to say that I believe it's true. Sometimes we just don't listen. Sometimes we just basically don't want to do it. We haven't tried it. I don't know how many times I know the word, but I also know that it says to declare. Someone the other day said, I'm blessed. Someone says, And you hear people say it, but you don't think it's for you. You hear people say, where the blessings reside. You don't even have to look around and know who says it. It's like, you expect, and then you know, see the thing, once she keeps saying it, you begin to expect her to say it. And God is going to honor her because she keeps saying it. Because she's believing something that God has transformed in her own life. Same way with you, because God is not a respecter of person. He will not do one for one, and he will not do for all. You got to understand. You got to say, so I'm blessed, and I'm highly favored. When I first came into the church, Sister Jay and Sister Dawn, I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing, sister? Just wanted to be nosy. Something like, how you doing, brother? I'm blessed and highly favored. No, I want to know what's going on with you. You don't look as, no, I'm blessed and highly favored. No, no, but come on, tell me something's hurting your heart. Tell me something that's wrong. There's something got me mixed up in there. I'm blessed and highly, oh, you. Because you don't want to accept the new man. You prefer the old man that has his head down and unhappy and sad and worried and stressed out. Rather than saying, I'm blessed and highly favored, even if you're not there yet.
Amen.
Even when you're not there yet. Because if you keep speaking it, it's like one step in front of the other, you keep speaking it, you're going to get there. It may be a hard word, you're going to get there. If you keep speaking it, because you're speaking over yourself, and the word of God teaches me that my words are powerful.
Amen.
Even before I became a Christian, I was going to school, and I went to this class, I won't go into all the detail, but in that class, he says, speak things over your life. So I would always say, I am, oh, I can't think of how I said it now. It's been a long time since I said it. But I went for years without ever being sick. I stopped saying it. See, when you start something with God, keep doing it. Be consistent. Don't stop, even when you feel better. Now see, I told you guys about how I would pray and say, Lord, my feet hurt, my ankles hurt, my legs hurt, and they stopped hurting when I started praying for them. I can still run. I can still do what I need to do on my job. Because God honors you. Because he wants you to glorify him. When you glorify God, it's sharing your testimony. Even with a stranger. My God. So, I want to read a passage of scripture. I'm not going to keep you guys long. It was the prayer of Jesus. I want you to listen for the word glorify. And these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. When you glorify God, God's going to glorify you. He's going to show people who you are. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as he had given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work. Jesus had work, and so do we. Okay? Which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee in the beginning of the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Would you guys ever be as bold to say that God gave you someone to work with, someone to save, someone to witness to? God gave them to you. See, if you look at it that way, when they ruffle your feathers, when they make you angry, you got to go back and say, Lord, you gave them to me, and it's either for one purpose or another, to make me better or to break something in me that I don't see. He gave you that headache. He gave me a woman today who was very nitpicky on my job. I was wanting to cry when I got in the car with my wife. I was like, she was ridiculous. I went into her apartment. I tore out her whole kitchen. And looked her in the eye and said, I'm going downstairs to get my other tools. Okay? Okay. I leave. I'm downstairs carrying the elevator's broken. I'm carrying my tools up the steps. And she's, where were you? Where did you go? She said, I thought you weren't coming back. She was standing next to me. She wasn't in her apartment. She was standing next to me on the steps. She says, why did it take you so long? See, you have to restrain yourself all the time. And she didn't do that one time. She did that several times. I just went like this. I'll be okay. And I'm so glad my arms are around that being I was carrying up the steps. And she did that to me 3 times. And then she wrote a paper and said, he came into my apartment and he messed up my whole apartment. He didn't fix anything, and I know he did it on purpose. I was reading it when I was late. If you can imagine, the same day, by the time I got off work, I'm reading a piece of paper. It says, Eric, what's this? You know, that's a compliment. Eric was in my apartment, and he tore up my whole apartment and did not put anything back. He does not know what he's doing. Please don't send him back. Can I trust him? It was really fun today. But my prayer is that she lives a long life, that God blesses her, that he keeps her, because she needs to be where she's living, because she needs help, and they can help her in some way. My thought is this. Never mind. Glorify God in your life, because you can. There are works that God has for you. If you just yield yourself to God, you can glorify him. Amen? You remember the scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they would do what? Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. How do you let your light shine? Sometimes it's just a kindness. Sometimes it's restraining your tongue. Keeping it shut. Not because what you might say can do irreparable damage to someone that's just on the other end, that you can't bring it all back. You can't put it all back. You can't take it back. But it's better to take it and then take it before the Lord. That's where you go with it. When you get offended, take it to the Lord. When someone makes you angry, take it to the Lord. When your students make you mad, take it to the Lord. And then sometimes you're so mad you can't pray for them, take it to someone else that will pray with you. That's why we have brothers and sisters, because sometimes it gets hard. Amen. And my God, sometimes I can't get in the spirit, but there's been times when my wife has prayed for me, and I literally have felt spirits leave. I felt a liberty. I felt set free. So if you got somebody close enough to pray for you or someone you can call on, call. Why drown on your own? Say something. Don't go in vain. Don't lose. You don't have to lose. You don't have to sin either. You don't have to sin. Because he died for that. And what is it? I mean, you think like, well, you know, a sinless, I can go a whole day. No, you're going to be worked on it. You have to work on it. Nothing good is just given to you. But His grace, His mercy, His love, His kindness, He gives you all those things. So that when you are hurting, when you have felt that you have failed God in any way, He knows how to secure them. He knows how to come alongside you and encourage you to keep going with Him. Amen? Last, in chapter 18 of John, when Jesus had spoken these words, he's talking about glory. He was telling his disciples to glorify God. He was saying that, Father, I pray for them that they would, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for those who you've given me. And I'm reading the last verse in verse 7, chapter 70, I'm sorry. Righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. That's one of the privileges that we receive in coming to Christ. We get to know who He is if we choose it. And how do you, God, can you imagine if you went through things in life, the way I know my wife, the way my wife knows me, is because we've gone through things together. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ sees what you're going through, but He wants to go through them with you. Let me say it again. He wants to go through it with you. So when you're hurt, when you're offended, when you don't know what to do, He wants you to communicate that to Him so He can go through it with you, so He can give you His wisdom, so He can give you His knowledge, so He can give you His understanding, so that you don't lean to your own understanding. Amen, amen. And when you become a child, as the scripture teaches us, to be child, become as a child. A child is always, in a sense, frail, unable to do a lot for themselves, in a mindset of, I need help. It's not, and here is no shame in that, because we've all needed help at some point. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name. And I will declare it. That the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. And I in them. The young man, Terrence, that I talked about earlier. He kept saying, you're a good man. I can see God's light in you. And then I had to remember the scripture where even people had come to Jesus and said, good teacher, good master. He says, why callest thou me good? There is no one good but God. And that's true. And I had to share that with him. Because at any time, I can be your enemy.
Right.
At any time, your heart can turn from me just because I told you the truth. At any time, your heart can change towards me. We have a spirit in this world. The spirit that's in the children of disobedience, the Bible says, that's able to turn someone's heart away from you. So don't take it personal. Take it to prayer. And Jesus had spoken these words. He went forth with his disciples over to Brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples. And that's where the title of this message came from, Familiar Places. If you stand with me, I want to talk to you as we close this service about familiar places. The holidays are coming up. Some of you have jobs. Some of you have families. Some of you have places where you live completely alone. But they're familiar places, amen?
Amen.
That's the places that God wants to visit. You see, the garden was a familiar place to his disciples because they had gone there often to pray. But this time it was different, because this is when, in verse 2, we pick it up. It says, and Judas said, which betrayeth him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. So that was a familiar place to Judas, his enemy, and it's a familiar place to his disciples that came there often. And sometimes those that are familiar with you, those that are familiar with you can be the ones that offend you. Sometimes those who are familiar, and in those familiar places, we have to go there, church. Get some, if it is somebody in church, come back and work it out. When you don't like something, come back and find out why. Because see, the change may not be the church that has to change. It might be you. And it's and see, the church was meant to be a body made up of many members, right? And because it has many members, you're not going to like everybody, but you're going to love them. That sounds weird to say it that way, huh? You're going to love them if you let them. If you let them love you and you teach or pray and say, God, I don't really like her. I don't care for him. Then he begins to start working on your heart. Because this is the place where he does it. Amen?
Amen.
So let's make this a familiar place of good things. Of good things that God can do. And places where we can change and be transformed into what? His image. Amen?
Amen.
So can we lift up our hands together and say, Lord, you've taught us about familiar places. Help us not to be wounded.
Help us not to be wounded.
You said,
great peace have they
whose mind is stayed on thee. Thank you, Father. I thank you for those who have been here in your midst and have heard the admonitions, have heard your word spoken to them. And I pray, dear God, that wherever it's landed, I pray that it's good soil. And that whenever they're in those familiar places where they can be hurt, that they know that you are a guard of their heart, that you can protect them, that they don't have to ever be afraid, but that they can find strength in you. They can receive knowledge and wisdom and understanding from you. And may it cause them not to run from the church or run from relationships, because it's in relation. Those familiar places are brought about through relationships. The familiar places that you go are brought about because of relationships. You go to job because of the familiarity. You're in your family because they're familiar. And those are sometimes the places where you can get hurt the most. So, Lord God, give us the grace and the mercy and the strength. Because it doesn't get easier, but it does get better. If there's people in our life that we have not forgiven, Lord, help us to forgive. There's people in our life that we feel that we have been offended by, Lord, teach us not to be offended. Help us not to walk in pride. Lord, help us to consider them. To consider them. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, you may come forward. If not, if you give yourself a few moments, don't just run off. Don't get in conversation. Do it quickly. Give yourself a few minutes to pray.